good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
And we are live on Native Roots Radio tonight. I am Ogamaganuakwe, and I'm here with our guest host, David Kanoyer. David, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Thanks, Ogama. David Kanoyer, and I guess you could call me a Robert Pilot wannabe. I'm Robert's Joan Rivers to him as Johnny Carson, for those of you who are old enough to remember the Johnny Carson, The Tonight Show. Robert is on assignment, we'll say, tonight, so Ogama and Lewis are helping me say the right words and push the right buttons and make sure that we hit our time spots, because that's the most important thing in radio, because we're live on AM 950 in the Twin Cities, and we're also simulcast in Madison, Wisconsin, Chicago, Illinois, and across the interweb on Facebook. So it's wonderful to be here. Ogama, how are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing just fine. I just came off of a Matt McNeil show ahead of this one, and happy to have you here to help cover us while Robert is away. I do want to say that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Their number is 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Again, that number is 651-304-9986.
Well, that's awesome. Let's bring in tonight's guests, and I'm so pleased that we have two folks joining me, and we're going to talk about Native American arts as an economic and cultural driver, and it's a important subject in the tribal indigenous communities, and it's also sort of seems like it's becoming more and more visible across the country in the dominant mainstream world, too. I've been honored to know both these folks for some time, and I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves. I really didn't tell you too much about me other than I want to be Robert Pilot, but David Kanoyer, and I'm based here in the Twin Cities, enrolled with the Rosebud Sioux Tribe, and recovering TV reporter way back when, before there was any such thing as Facebook. Joe Allen and I were talking earlier. Joe is also a recovering journalist and is now doing some really, really cool arts work on the White Earth Nation. And Chad Poitra, based here in the Twin Cities, is leading the Tawahe Foundation, which is a Native American community foundation, trying to help transformation on an individual level and a community and family level, too. Joe, let's start with you. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the organization that you're with?
Oh, got to unmute yourself there.
Yeah, I always forget that. I'm here on the White Earth Nation in what Gijigan Arts Incubator right now. We're located in Manoman, Minnesota, and we're a project of the White Earth Tribes Economic Development Division. And I'm an artist and, like David said, a former journalist. So I've been doing photography for over 30 years now. So I'm working with artists here on the White Earth Reservation. And just glad to be here.
Where are you sitting there? What's behind you? Is that your living room?
No, this is our space, the Gijigan Arts Incubator. We're kitty corner from the casino here next to the old Shopko, if you know Manoman at all. And I have some art on the wall. We've just opened up, the tribe opened up all the public buildings on July 1st. So I had to put some art up on the walls. I've been using this as a studio. So it's a multi-purpose room.
Nice. Thanks, Joe. Chad Poitra is a well-known name. I know you have lots and lots of relatives and maybe not related to all the Poitras, but from here in North Dakota and back, right?
Yes, very much so. Enrolled member of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians. Born and raised down here in the Twin Cities. This is home. This has been home for the majority of my life. Thank you for having me tonight, and I'm glad to be part of Dave and Joe at this panel. I'm currently the executive director of the Tawahi Foundation. Like you mentioned, Tawahi Foundation is a culturally centered grant-making initiative that started back in 1993 with the Marbrook, Westcliff, and Grotto Foundations, and then eventually transformed into its own standalone community foundation in 2009. So I'm glad to be here. We support micro-grants in the Twin Cities area, and what's really exciting is we are moving to outstate this fall. We will have a grant round from October to November where we'll be providing our micro-grants to all natives in the outstate area, both tribal and in communities such as Bemidji, Duluth, and St. Cloud and Mankato. And those micro-grants are centered in health and wellness, economic independence, education, and cultural. And so we're really excited to be partnering with a couple of tribal nations on releasing these resources that are so badly needed to support our entrepreneurs, our initiatives around education journeys, and connecting with the culture, staying connected with kinship, and even home ownership. And so we've been doing a lot of work. We've done close to 900 grants since 1993, totaling about $2 million.
Wow. And what sets you apart from many foundations, right, is that you make grants to individual people, often with the Internal Revenue Service regulations, right? Foundations have chosen to give their money to 501c3 nonprofit organizations, and tribes are also eligible, as are other governmental entities, but you are making grants to individuals, which is very exciting and actually kind of rare in philanthropy, isn't it?
Very much so. We're actually, to the last time we did a resource scan on this, we're the only foundation entity that provides micro grants directly to individual natives in the country.
Wow. And so your scope is Native American people in the state of Minnesota right now, right?
That's what we're expanding to. We've been historically in the 7-county metropolitan area of Minneapolis-St. Paul. But the board made a strategic plan last year for 2021 to 2023 to expand those resources out to outstate Minnesota. And so we're very excited about engaging with both the tribal communities and supporting tribal sovereignties to deploy these resources, but also the engagement with the many community organizations that are doing capacity or program-related activity with our community to work alongside them to deploy these dollars directly into the hands of Native individuals.
Thanks. So, Joe, let me ask you, we want to talk about Native American art as a cultural and economic resource, and it may not stop just in those two areas, but how do you see that, and how do you see art on the White Earth Nation as a, you know, because when we say art in the dominant society, people think of things on the wall like you have behind you. And they may not necessarily think of more than that beyond pottery or, you know, theater. But what is art in our community?
Well, I think, you know, as most people say, like, art has always been, you know, not seen as something separate. You know, it's part of our culture. It's who we are as Native people. You know, you go to a powwow, it's like that's how I say that's one of the biggest art shows there is at a powwow. And so I think supporting that and developing that is important because it's such an important part of our culture. Many of our artists are culture bearers. You know, they know the traditions and have a basket maker, have a basket behind us. And, you know, that goes back tradition, you know, many generations. And so I think it's important. And also, you know, the economic development side of it, you know, bringing, you know, helping. That's why I took this job and why this organization was formed was to develop the economy of the White Earth Nation here.
Awesome. So in our culture, right, art is life, right? It's very all-encompassing, very holistic. And we'll talk more about that here on Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake with Joe Allen from White Earth and Chad Poitra right here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. We'll be back after this message.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the...
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Well, welcome back to I'm Awake on Native Roots Radio. Ogama, who's our sponsor of this segment?
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Get involved at mn350.org.
I guess tonight you're kind of Wendy and I'm kind of Robert. How's that feel?
Well, I have stood in to do the sponsor prompts before, so I feel like I'm getting better at those. And I think that this is a really interesting show, and this is a really important thing to talk about. You know, arts and culture is something that's really important to us as Native people, and I'm happy that you are able to bring on these great guests and get the show for us.
Well, thanks. It's fun to be here. Our topic is Native American art. And we're focusing a little bit on the economic impact of art, but there's also obviously many other dimensions as arts as an expression. Joe Allen from the White Earth Nation, tell us more specifically about how your network, your nonprofit organization, Tribally Chartered there, how are you putting arts on the map, supporting artists, visibility, helping all of the things that an arts economic community and ecology, if you will, needs to thrive?
Well, so one of the things that we do is try to provide space for artists, and we have it here, but also help connect artists to the larger community, you know, be it regionally here or the Twin Cities or even nationally. And so helping them to, you know, connect to galleries and art shows. You know, I help do grant writing. We have computers here that, you know, if they need to come in and do a grant. And right now I'm doing an initiative to releasing a former photographer studio, and we're going to start an artist cooperative And so helping to develop that, helping artists, we've been trying to do this for a few years, but the space just became available that was perfect. We just turn the key and walk in. And so developing that, and you know, we used to do these learning cohorts, and but there's so many other resources out there, you know, First People's Fund, Springboard for the Arts, you know, so just connecting artists to resources and networks and building those networks. One of the things that we're trying to develop too is resources, connection to supplies and art supplies, and then helping to develop more creative spaces. You know, there's White Earth is a huge reservation, many communities, and a creative space, you know, most people are, you know, working on their kitchen table or, you know, in their bedrooms or wherever they can. And so helping to build these communal spaces and working with community or some of the community councils around the reservation and trying to, you know, help them figure out how to do that. And so that's going to be the next initiative that I'm trying to launch here is making more maker spaces. So
that's exciting. So you talked about access to markets. You talked about space. I know connecting folks is important, just, you know, as sort of mentors and peer learning, right? Because they're only going to, we only take so much from the sage on the stage, so to speak. You know, we're going to learn a lot from each other laterally. Supplies, credit, and money and capital, and business knowledge, right? I know you do some training there. So that's a lot. How do you do it all? What's the capacity there of your colleagues?
Well, there's just me, and I have one assistant, and she kind of handles some of the studio stuff. But, you know, we got away from that learning cohort model, and I do what I call coaching. And so it's just business coaching. And so we're a small community, even though we're a large reservation, you know, so I know the artists that we work with, and, you know, they'll call me up. And, you know, I'll say, they'll ask me a question, or I say, hey, this looks like a good opportunity for you. You should check it out. And so, you know, just establishing that relationship base, you know, way of working with artists. And I think that what works best in our communities is the relationship. And also, you know, building that larger network. So, you know, connecting with people from Red Lake and Leech Lake, we're doing a project together with the Red Lake Nation and Leech Lake and the City of Bemidji that used to happen years ago, but the Anishinaabe Art Expo. And so we're going to relaunch that. And we were trying to launch it, but then, you know, what happened last year, you know, COVID. And so we're planning to do that next year. We'll have a large expo. You know, there used to be one 20, 30 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, that used to travel the country, and it just kind of fizzled out. And so revitalizing that and making, you know, the dream is like the Santa Fe of the North type thing. And so developing that market and working with other entities, you know, because none of us have the capacity to do this on our own.
Exactly.
And so learning to collaborate with, you know, Red Lake was also part of the First People's Fund Indigenous Art Ecology System. And so getting that activated up here.
You mentioned First People's Fund, which is a nonprofit based in Rapid City, South Dakota, that supports exactly the sorts of work that you're doing, Joe, at a community level, trying to build a community network, and also at the artist individual level, and also with culture bearers. And I should, to be transparent, I should let people know I'm on the First People's Fund board. And so I'm a big fan of the organization, and we need more of them, right? And it's exciting to see both of you, Joe and Chad Poitra, doing more of this work, because there's lots of cool things happening at the grassroots, but, you know, less maybe, right, at the connecting level and at the intermediary level to connect all this cool, all these leaders, really, right? Chad, I know that Tawahi Foundation talks about coaching and leadership development too, and you've done a lot of work yourself with entrepreneurism in Indian country. I'm guessing that just as Joe is working with artists who don't necessarily think of themselves as artists, Tawahe is working with leaders at the grassroots level and entrepreneurs that don't even necessarily think of themselves as that. How do you help people find their path and grow into something sustainable? Arts, business development, what have you?
A great question. And obviously, Joe, I mean, I just sent him an email saying we got to work together. Because as we look to expand to outstate, I mean, this is exactly the partnerships, relationships that we need to make happen. My goal, my purpose, my vision here at the Tawahe Foundation is to deploy resources and get those dollars into the hands of, you know, entrepreneurs or to folks that want to do home ownership, to the people in their educational journeys or people that are trying to stay connected and engaged with the culture. So specifically regards to entrepreneurship, right? Our goal is to meet our applicants where they're at, to meet the community where they're at. And you're right, it's not for us to define what that looks like. It's we're hearing from them what their goals are and how can we help them get there with staying in our lane of deploying resources. So you're right, the applications that we get, they don't know that they, wanting to start being in an indigenous food space or being in the artist space or wanting to formalize, you know, their vending that they've been doing on the powwow circuit, right? So our goal is to then say, work here in the Twin Cities example with the Minnesota Fund, who could provide the TNA around building a business plan, you know, creating a marketing and communication strategy. And they can come to us with that partnership to say, all right, I'm working with the Minnesota Fund on, defining and developing these tools that I need to make my journey to reach my goals in my journey. And then we can also find other partners, given my relationships in this space, a community development entrepreneur that can, if they need a real estate space, if they want a storefront, or if they want to build their e-commerce business, or, so again, it's just meeting them where they're at. And we do that through our application process. We do that through our grants committee, which is made up of members of the board, but also the community as a whole, to come in and review these applicants and be able to find the nuggets of information that allows for us to show up for them. So if they don't have a business plan, right, then we talk to Minnesota Fund. Or if they're in the food space, we talk to, Indigenous Food Lab. Or if they're looking for real estate, we contact, we just continually, like Joe said, we talk about relationships. We talk about engaging and using the network that we have to surround that entrepreneur or that our applicant as a whole with the tools they need to be successful. And we try to do that, again, culture being as grounded and committed to culturally responsive grant making.
Wow. It's exhausting to work, right? Joe has one colleague helping him build this network, and Tawahe, I know, is lean and mean as well. And what is so interesting, though, is just all of the ideas and all of the things that you all are trying to grow, right? Whether it is basket making, whether it is storytelling, whether it is it can be painting, right? There's plenty of Native people that are painters. Or they're making things out of traditional materials, buffalo hides, deer skin, you name it, and a lot of beaders and folks making wonderful medallions, earrings, jewelry, and all of this really has exploded on the internet. So when we come back, we've talked about First Peoples Fund and we've talked about this network building, this Indigenous arts ecology, and I want to play a little bit of a video that will show us that it's not just happening at White Earth and it's not just happening in the Twin Cities. It's happening from Hawaii to Alaska to Wisconsin to Michigan to Maine. So we will be right back on Native Roots Radio presenting I'm Awake after these messages.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies overnight with a low around 63, Friday sunny with a high near 85, and Saturday sunny with a high near 87. It's been 756 days since the last Twin Cities Pride event, and fortunately, it's back this weekend. The 49th annual Twin Cities Pride Festival will be at Loring Park this Saturday and Sunday, and it'll feature local BIPOC and LGBTQ+ vendors, a food court, a beer garden, and music stages. Details at tcpride.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
How cool to hear Jane Fonda's voice. Okama, who's bringing this segment to us tonight?
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Very nice. Thank you. Well, we're having, an informative conversation for all of you listening and watching out there. The topic for tonight's Native Roots Radio presenting I'm Awake discussion is Native American arts. And arts doesn't stop just with the expression or the product, right? There's a whole process that goes into. There's probably prayers involved. There's certainly the materials that you need. There's ancestors, right, who might have passed on that knowledge. And you have to have, I remember hearing you, as an artist, you have to have be in a good space, right? You have to be calm and peaceful so that that energy can flow into the art. And that makes a lot of sense, right? Because we know that when we're all stressed and we're sort of breathing, or if we're angry or upset, it's really hard to be productive at anything, much less art. I mentioned being familiar with the organization First Peoples Fund, a nonprofit that has ties to both our speakers tonight, Joe Allen on the White Earth Nation and Chad Poitra of Tawahe Foundation. And First Peoples Fund, about 10 years ago, did a study on the Pine Ridge Reservation looking at artists. And what they found in that study that was funded at the time by Northwest Area Foundation was that about half of all households on Pine Ridge, 50%, had a home-based business, right? Some sort of home-based business, everything from, you know, computers to cooking to maybe fixing the cars. And of those businesses, 4 of 5, 80%, were based somehow in traditional arts. So arts are a big deal on the reservations, in our community, and it is who we are. We're joined by Joe Allen from White Earth and Chad Poitra from the urban area of the Twin Cities, but I wanted to show you how the same conversation is happening in many, many other communities across the country. So let's watch about 2.5 minutes of this video, Indigenous Arts Ecology. And Ogama, let's get out on when the gentleman is talking about we need to do more, which is about 2.5 minutes in. Thanks. Let's watch this. In this Indigenous arts ecology, the Lauhala leaf once wove together nearly everything.
It's an ancient, ancient plant. It like transports you back to what your ancestors, you know, the smell of it, feel of it.
With each piece serving a utilitarian need, this art is life, something you just do.
In 2016, I was an awardee of the Community Spirit Award. It just blew me away when I first learned about it because I never thought of myself as a bearer, a cultural bearer, yeah.
Kaohu has come to Phoenix with fellow weavers from a Hawaiian community network, seeking to support more artists culturally as well as economically.
It's not just about what they can produce physically in their art, but how they're perpetuating the culture.
We are a native CDFI, and although our portfolio for our loan fund is pretty large, within the last 5 years, I think we've only established a loan package for maybe about 9 artists.
The Hawaiians join other indigenous communities, artists, and native community development financial institutions from Cheyenne River, South Dakota, Nome, Alaska, and Shawnee, Oklahoma.
Because when we looked at our portfolio, there were maybe 15 to 18 artist loans, but we knew the need was there. And when he would come to do trainings, the artists would come out.
So I'm a full-time artist. I work from home, so I go to shows, I do gallery work, and Felicia's been helping me getting my business started. I actually opened up my first business bank account this week, so kept everything separate. So I'm very excited to really start pursuing it as a career.
They said I never went to school there.
Convened by First Peoples Fund, the community teams map their strengths to support artists and examine what's missing among 6 key factors for success.
I think that's our biggest gap, is getting supplies.
We barter, we help each other out, just sharing, you know, back and forth.
Learning from each other and guest presenters, there's an empowering push for both the artists as well as the community lenders.
Carving really did a lot for me and my family. It pretty much saved my life and took care of me from the moment I began carving, which was at 14.
I'd have to say the most surprising thing I've learned here is what we should be doing. We're not doing enough of.
Another lender says the best thing? Seeing the cultural dimension of community development.
So I think the cultural awareness piece has been the best to kind of open my mind and feel more comfortable that I'm included in this group. Though I don't know it, I'm part of the group.
David, I think you have to unmute.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Thanks for indulging that story. Joe, that easily could have been your group there from White Earth at that meeting. Did you see things that look familiar to you?
Yeah, we were down in 2018, I think, and we went to the herd. And I met some of the people in the video. And Yeah, it was great to meet, you know, and connect and learn whatever. And we're all trying to do the same thing. And so it was a really great experience.
I think bringing people together is almost always powerful for folks, right? With some decent food in a fairly inviting space, right? It's not too hot, not too cold, with, you know, with the lights at work. But
yeah, I got to go down in the middle at the end of February when there was about 3 feet of snow up here, and so that was really great.
And it was really moving. You know, you met at the beginning of that video, Duncan Sato Kauhu, who's a master weaver, right? He takes that Lauhala leaf and he turns it into, you know, you name it, and including that long rug, if you will, right? Because back in the day, the leaves were the rugs, they were baskets, they were so many things. And to hear him, you know, at the stage in his life, in his probably 60 plus, you know, he was, you know, learning and was just so excited about his role in supporting more folks, you know, along with him that can actually make a living from his art, right? If all Native artists could make a living from their art, I bet they would be extremely happy people, yeah?
Yeah, and I think that's the goal, and I think, you know, help artists to live as an artist and not have to, you know, get a day job like I have here. But, you know, I love what I'm doing, but, you know, it's a struggle to still maintain my art practice and, you know, do art. And, you know, and I think, you know, that's the thing about how we can support artists in a way that helps them live their lives and do what they do and not be this performative grant cycles that you know, you're going to do this project and you got to, what's your budget and all that stuff. And then, so I see that as the trend coming out now is looking at ways to decolonize the way we fund arts and do grant making.
Everything from how we give it, you know, to more individuals, to maybe how we decide and what's accountability like, right? And how do we come together to share learning collectively in a spirit of learning and not, you know, gotcha, and did you do everything on that grant? Values are central here, right? Values of generosity, values of helping each other. And I know they inform the Tawahi Foundation's work too, Chad.
Yeah, yes, very much. And thanks. That's perfect. What Joel was speaking to about how we got to do things differently. And so my experience, you know, both personally and professionally, and what drew me to the Tawahi Foundation was our values. We have a values of humility, truth, wisdom, love and compassion, respect, bravery, courage, generosity. And we lead with those values. And I'm a former grant recipient when I started my small business back in 2006. And to be able to get a Tawahi Micro Grant that helped me take that first step, not so much the money, but so much the belief and support that we got you, Chad. You're going to make this happen. We're here at Tawahi, and Tawahi's family in Dakota. We're here for you. And even more importantly, when I had to pivot in my business, I came back to them, you know, I had an informed of, right? And there was no, hey, we're going to take that money back because you didn't, like you just mentioned, you didn't hit these boxes. No, they just said, tell us how you're pivoting, and because we're here to support you, you know. And so it's values, right? A belief. And that's what I think makes Tawahi so great and so powerful, is showing up for our grantees in that way, that we're not going to be restrictive. We're not going to be invasive. We are not going to define what success looks for you. You're going to define it, and we're going to show up to continually lift you up. It's so much more important. I think that gesture to me meant more than the $2,200 that I think I got for a micro grant to start my business. And that's what we're going to continually to support and move forward in the future. When we open this grant around October 1st, that's going to go to the middle of November. That's going to be open to all Minnesota natives, and you don't have to be enrolled. You just have to prove descendancy. So we even kind of started getting out of this urban, you know, enrolled identity issue. We got to start thinking differently, right? We're going to, you know, release these funds in the Aboriginal homelands of the Ojibwe and Dakota people. So we're even looking at different communication strategies for audience engagements that's not geared by white philanthropists, which, you know, is very much colonialized. So we're changing it. We're using what my buddy Edgar Villanueva, his book, Decolonizing Wealth, right? Using money as medicine. And we truly believe that. And that's what drew me here, because it's something that is so badly needed in our community. And I just want to quickly say, you know, Native Arts looks, I mean, I did a lot of work with Adam Beach, right? And we created a scholarship for more Natives to be in the entertainment space, but not just in front of the screen, but behind the screen, right? And the what they call below the line items. So craft, food, you know, craft services set designs and costumes. And so, I mean, those are artists, and we need more Native representation.
Exactly.
In there. And to see Sterling Harjo and the success he's having, in, you know, the Reservation Dogs is coming out. And
well, hold that thought, Chad. Rustin
Falls, right?
We're going to come back to you right after these messages.
We are Alusa Nation.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free, and approved for everyone over the age of 12. Need help getting a COVID-19 vaccine? Trusted community connectors can find vaccination sites, make appointments, answer questions, and provide interpretation. To learn more about scheduling a free appointment or find a community connector, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. That's ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Well, welcome to our final segment of Native Roots Radio presenting I'm Awake. David Knoyer sitting in for Robert and Wendy on assignment tonight, getting a little break, and Ogama, who's sponsoring this final segment as we run to the final races here?
Yeah, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves. And if you've ever tuned in to Native Roots Radio before, you know that we howl at this part. So, guys, if I could, please don't make me howl alone on air. Could you do that? So this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Are you ready? Ow! McWitch, thank you. That was the biggest wolf pack we've ever had on air. I appreciate that.
We had a real We had a really cool meeting once, Joe, and you were there, Joe, in the Tribal College at White Earth, and we were doing Lemoyne LaPointe's exercise where all these groups had to play out, role play the values of a different animal, and we had eagle, and we had I don't know what else, butterfly, and then a group picked the wolf, and they came up with this little skit, right, to show the values of the wolf, and some guy came running into the room where we were all watching, and, and he howled, and then down the hall, his buddies howled back at him. It was so awesome.
Hey, yeah, that was Stan Alexander. Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Well, this is a great conversation. Joe Allen from the White Earth Nation, Manoman, Minnesota, and Chad Poitra, Tawahi Foundation. And I also want to bring in Ogama's right-hand or left-hand friend there, Lewis Eagle Thunder. Lewis, thanks for your help guiding us without Mom and Dad here in the room tonight.
Oh, no problem.
Lewis, you were mentioning that you've got some family members who are artists too.
Yeah, thank you for making space for me to talk here about it. Yeah, my mother, Deborah White Buffalo Woman, she's been beading since 1960, and this is in Rapid City. That's where I was born and raised. And anyone knows Prairie Wind down there? It's a huge store. That before that opened, actually, they were looking for beaders. She really got involved with that. Sioux Pottery, that's where my grandma worked. So I remember spending lunch at Sioux Pottery, but she beads. She does her own little business online. LakotaCrafts.com is her website, but she does traditional Lakota beadwork.
Nice. That piece right there is from the Sioux Pottery.
Yeah, I recognized it.
Yeah, small world.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Thanks. We all have artists in our family. I've got a cousin, Gerald Kanoyer, and we joke who's the most famous Kanoyer, and I think he might be. Chad, we cut you off before the last commercial. Were you able to get everything you wanted to get in there about values and culture and try to decolonizing generosity?
Yes, and I appreciate that. I get really passionate about this. This is, you know, showing up and supporting our community is always been. I made a career out of it, and I'm continuing that work here at Tawahi. So again, please be watching our website, TawahiFoundation.org. Our social media will be rolling out new audience engagement pieces, talking about the folks that we've funded in the past, and then announcing our new grant round, and hopefully inspiring more applicants to put their dreams and ambitions on papers and see how we can help you.
And I was really struck, Chad, by what you said, even when you were emerging entrepreneur with a new business, you know, many years ago. And you basically said the money wasn't the most important thing, right? It was knowing that there was somebody there to help, having support, having them show up for you. Is that essentially what you said?
Yeah. I mean, money is important. We all know that it makes the world go round, but the facts that they believed in me. Right. And they supported me and, you know, LaVon Lee, was administering, the program on behalf, I believe, the Grotto Foundation at that time. And then also, Kelly Drummer and all those guys instrumental. And you mentioned Lemoyne Pointe. He's one of our, you know, cultural elders and bearers for Tawahi, helped name Tawahi. And so, yes, and that's what we're trying to do here, right? And I've had success in my business, my consulting business prior to this. Just what I consider surrounding our doers with the support they need, the belief they need, help them lift them up, be behind them. And I can tell a quick little story about, you know, in the banking industry, there's a president that I met that talked about her dairy farmers. And she mentioned that, you know, she had a dairy farmer strategy, which means they would meet with the farmer, you know, monthly with, you know, the veterinarian, the banker, right? The accountant, you know, all these people that believed in this farmer, because if he or she is not successful, right, that affects the veterinarian, that affects the CPA, that affects the bank, the loan and all that stuff. And I truly believe, like, partnership matters when we do this type of work, and engaging with subject matter experts across all realms of Native artistry, right? And I talked about a little bit, you know, with what's going on in Native Hollywood right now, and the success and visibility that we're having. to you know, supporting artists, right? And in our communication strategy going forward, we work with the Mobu Agency, which is a Native-owned full marketing advertising agency out of Bismarck. And so not only are we doing it on the front end, but we're also doing it on the back end by supporting and making space for these professional artists to help us in our vision and our goals.
It is all about relationships, and that is so trite. But back in the day, this is an older experience, but I don't think it's probably changed. I mean, I remember foundations, and these are the dominant society foundations. At the top of the list of their grantee surveys, their grantees said they wanted more time with their program officers, right? They wanted that relationship. And I don't think that this indigenous way of being is rocket science or limited to just us. People are craving some new ways to truly transform, whether it's art, whether it's economic or community development, whether it's health, whether it's education, right? It's about bringing our minds and our hearts together. Joe Allen, let me give you a final word from White Earth. What's coming up, and tell us about your website. It's really, really cool, well done website too.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So up immediately, we're doing on August 28th, we're doing Wild Rice Day here in Manoman. And so we're trying to shoot for 20 artists to be vending during that day. Wild Rice Day goes back to 1909, started here in Manoman. And Manoman has historically been viewed as a white town. And, you know, it's about 1,200 people now, and it's over half Native now. The schools here are about 75% Native. And so we're trying to revitalize the event and added an arts and cultural festival to it. And so I'd like to invite everybody, if they're in the area, to come and check it out August 28th. So
that's awesome. Well, Joe Allen, thank you very much for taking time to join us from that wonderful space there. And if you're ever in Manoman, go check him out, even if it isn't August 28th for Wild Rice Day. And Chad Poitra talked about some things that you can stay tuned at the TawaheFoundation.org website. Tawahe is family in Lakota, Dakota, Nakota. And that's what we are, right? We're just one big family. Usually we get along, but we're there to support each other, and we're there to see everybody do well. You know, it isn't about my idea winning or Chad's idea winning. It's the right new knowledge emerging, new ideas, new insights, and it's about values. Yeah, the values that make Tawahe Foundation work, that help Joe and his colleague bring these artists together. If they're not walking their values and talking their values, right, no one's going to show up. The circle isn't going to happen. So thank you for your insights, Chad and Joe. Ogama and Lewis, anything we want to talk about before the parents come back tomorrow night, Wendy and Bob, Robert?
Thank you so much for filling in.
Yeah, this was fun. Maybe if he doesn't get too angry, he'll have me back someday. And I'd actually love to bring Chad and Joe back and hear Joe's war stories about working at the Circle newspaper back in the day. And Chad has a few of his own too. So thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. Native Roots Radio presenting I'm Awake.